This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on the juvenile court system here in Rutherford County, and in a little while we'll open up the phone lines. Juvenile Court System Magistrate Keith Siskin is with us this morning. Keith, good morning to
you. Good morning, Bart. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us today. You brought with you local attorney Sandra Smith. Sandra, how are you doing today?
Very good, thanks.
Good to have you here today. And let's talk a little about grandparents' rights today. I think that's something I can certainly relate to, being a grandparent. That is a phenomenal position in life, I guess you could say. Something, you had a child to get to that point, but there's something about spoiling your grandchild that's even more fun than ever. But unfortunately, all grandparents don't have the same fun experiences. They have some challenges along the way, and we're going to be talking about that this morning. Is this a big problem with the juvenile court system?
Yes. It's a very difficult area of the law, and actually before I get into that, let me say that Judge Davenport sends her regrets this morning. She's at a judge's training conference in Nashville, so couldn't be with us today, but we're happy to be here in her place. The question about grandparents' rights and grandparents' roles with our children is very difficult, and we see in this day and age a lot of parents who, for whatever reason, whether it's because they're too young, they're having kids too young, or they're just irresponsible or whatnot, they don't do what parents need to do. And we have a lot of grandparents who are stepping into this role of raising these children. And I tell you what, Bart, without our grandparents, we would be in trouble as a court system, because we would have foster care going through the roof. If we didn't have grandparents to help out, it would just be a disaster. So we're very thankful for all the grandparents that do step up and help out their grandchildren when the parents, for whatever reason, can't do it.
Now, when you see the grandparents in the juvenile court system, something has gone awry. Is it usually kids not going to school, or what is the problem that grandparents, and both of you are shaking your head no, so I'm not even close to it, evidently. Well, what is the problem?
It's a number of problems usually that get us there, but for the most part, as Magistrate Siskin said earlier, it's just the parents, for whatever reason, are not able to fulfill whatever role they need to play. Mm-hmm. And
could you get just a little closer?
Sorry.
That's okay. Just let it be your good buddy for the next hour.
What he said is, I think, completely accurate. And I see that in my office every day. It's just that the grandparents have to step up and reassume the role of parent. And it's most times it has nothing to do with anything that the children themselves have been involved in or they've done.
And so the grandparents are at a point in life where they don't have the energy sometimes that they need to keep up with these children, and they have to move on because the child needs guidance.
And it's a necessary thing, and that's what I hear a lot. They're doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. It's not always the plan that they had for that part of their life or where they are in, you know, their plans for retirement or wherever they might be headed, but they step up, and as Keith said, I don't know where we'd be in the juvenile system without these grandparents.
Is there help for the grandparents who are having these difficult challenges?
In some cases, the help, you know, the court system does what it can to help. There's a lot of different ways to look at that question. You know, when grandparents come into juvenile court representing themselves, which they do a lot, it is very difficult, and there's not much help out there. Now, sometimes if they are working with DCS, if the state has removed a child, DCS can provide certain assistance to grandparents. And frankly, I don't know as much about that part as far as how the Department of Children's Services, what their inner workings are, but I know there is some assistance they can give to grandparents in certain cases. But typically, if a grandparent is just coming to the court representing themselves, there's not going to be a lot of help there.
So is it better to have, and I know what the answer is before I ask it, because we have an attorney in the right here with, is it better to have an attorney in this situation represent you than you representing yourself?
I truly believe anytime you walk into any courtroom and you're dealing with a child, you're dealing with custody, visitation, anything of that nature, it's best to be represented. The laws are complex. Each case is an individual case. You're never going to see two cases that are exactly the same. So I tell anyone who comes into my office, if you hire me, if you hire someone I can't stand, I don't care, just hire somebody to help you. Mm-hmm. It is always better to have someone who knows the law, who knows how the court system works. But a lot of grandparents, since they are taking on the expense of raising that grandchild or sometimes several grandchildren, simply don't have the revenue to then add to that with attorney fees.
I would think, and Magistrate Siskin, you probably know this better than anyone else other than Judge Davenport, this is probably the most user-friendly court in the state of Tennessee, probably.
Yeah, we take great pride as a court in the fact that we are accessible to anybody, and you don't have to have a lawyer to come to juvenile court. You know, we have a great clerk's office, and there's forms that people can come and fill out, you know, the petition that opens a case up. We have a standard form for people to come and fill out a petition, and we do take pride in that. The problem in the area of grandparents' rights is that it is a very complex area of the law, like Sandy said. You know, you've heard, or a lot of people listening probably have heard, well, grandparents don't really have any rights in the state of Tennessee. And to some degree, that's true, because you know, it's hard for grandparents to get their foot in the door. There are ways to do it. There are laws that allow it, but it's pretty complicated, even for practicing attorneys. Unless you specialize and are very familiar with this area, it's not something that a lot of people want to wade into. So while we will listen to whatever people come to the court with, if they're representing themselves or otherwise, if possible, it's best to have an attorney in the area of grandparents' rights, because it is so complicated.
Now, if the Children's Services have taken the child, and they're, you know, trying to decide where is the best place for this child to be put, if a grandparent steps forward, I know they would prefer putting it with the parent, but if that's where the problem is, they obviously can't do that. Do they look at the grandparents as the second best choice? Or is that somewhere down the road? Do they look at foster homes as a better choice?
Before they start looking at foster care, they have a duty to try and find a family placement. So if the department removes a child from the parents and neither parent is fit in their view, they will start looking and asking the parents, okay, who are the family that you think can help out until you get on your feet or until you get over your problems? And they will check out every family resource that is identified by the parents, and they'll try and research on their own if the parents don't identify anybody, but they will try a family placement first. And grandparents are usually a strong option there because, you know, they're usually stable and they're obviously older, and you know, if the grandparents are ready and willing and able to have the children in their home, they're usually high up on the list.
Let me ask you this, because this just strange things run through my mind once in a while. It seems like it was not too many years ago that there was a child here in Rutherford County who was 17 or so years old, and had sort of almost fallen through the cracks. I don't think anybody realized this child was raising themselves. And I won't give the gender either. Don't want to let anything out. And that was discovered, but I'm not sure what was done or what was able to be done, because they were approaching the legal age, which I guess is 18. Mm-hmm. But you hear things like this in other states as well, where children are raising themselves and it's not known by the groups that are concerned with children's care. Do you think that happens very often here? Does it slip? Do cases slip away?
You know, I've heard of things like that every once in a while. I would say it's rare, because for a child to be able to be essentially raising themselves, if the parents are gone or whatnot, they would have to basically pull the wool over everybody's eyes, including the schools. And we've got very good truancy officers here in this county, and I'm sure the other counties do too. It would be hard and unusual for a child to be able to do that totally without adult supervision. You know, there's varying degrees of children who, you know, the parents might be in and out and the child is basically raising themselves. But, and, you know, Sandy can correct me if I'm wrong or if she's had different experiences, but I haven't seen very much of that where a child totally is raising themselves. That'd be difficult.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'm sure there's that rare situation out there where you're going to hear of that, but, you know, I've been in this county for several years, and I've not. Mm-hmm. You have those independent children. You have those capable children who can get out and do things, and, you know, those are the kids that everybody hears about, the overachievers.
And I think this person would have fallen into that category. I mean, right. Very, very bright, able to do well in school, also very driven to work a part-time job before and after school. I think the parents or grandparents or whomever she was supposedly living with who weren't there was in a rural setting. So I guess the home had been paid for. She was just earning money to, I shouldn't have said she. This person was just earning money to pay overhead and food and things like that. But, I mean, I guess that's the rare case.
Very rare.
Other things about when Judge Davenport set this program up today and said grandparents' rights, I was thinking about rights of a grandparent being taken away to see their grandchild. This is not that at all. I mean, we're talking about a grandparent stepping in when the parent fails, either on purpose or through some deed of theirs. On that other side of a grandparent losing their right to see the child. Do you see those cases as well?
Yes, we have quite a bit of that, and that is the other side of the coin. And that is a very difficult area, because if you have fit parents, the laws in Tennessee provide that parents have superior rights over everybody else, including grandparents and any other relatives. And if the parents say that the child can't see a grandparent or an aunt or uncle or anybody, that's the way it is. The parents have the right to decide who their child will be around, and the parents can take the child away from the grandparents. Now, there are statutes in place where the grandparents can get their foot in the door, so to speak, but there's very specific circumstances. Typically, if you have two fit parents who are unified in saying that the child cannot see the grandparents, it's going to be very difficult to overcome that.
And I guess very much in the news these days is a case in which a grandparent has, through a will, I guess, the right to raise the children. And we're talking about Michael Jackson. Very much in the news, this is the grandmother is saying this uncle, this aunt, whoever, you know, they cannot see the child, the children, and it's working. So I guess whoever has the parental rights, the guardianship, that's the one who holds the key to the ones who see who.
Yeah, typically, yes. And, you know, the law here in Tennessee, a grandparent can get a hearing, you know, if they want visitation rights. There's some circumstances in the statute. For example, if either parent is deceased, That will let the grandparents get a hearing on visitation rights. And a lot of times we do see that. If one parent is deceased, the other parent, for whatever reason, decides they're going to cut off that side of the family. And that's a case where a grandparent does have a chance to get visitation rights. They can come in and file a petition with the court and get a hearing. They would have to show that there would be a substantial risk of harm to the grandchild if that relationship is severed, and that it's in the grandchild's best interests to continue the grandparent-grandchild relationship. If they can show that in court, they can get visitation rights even if the surviving parent is opposed to it.
It's a shame that it has to go through that, because whenever something like that happens, that is bound to create an even bigger wedge between that family relationship than ever before. I mean, it may have been rough before, but you go to court, and I would think that that really creates a problem. Does that magnify the issue for you with the juvenile court system in years to come? Is that problem significant there and stays with you throughout the time?
Yes. I mean, it's a growing problem, and I'm seeing a lot more of those cases come up on my docket. And those are the types of cases that come on my docket, before it gets to Judge Davenport. Whoever disagrees with my decision can appeal it to her, but typically they're coming in to me first, and I'm seeing a growing number of those cases.
Okay, so when local attorneys have a case, such as Sandra Smith, who's with us this morning, she has a case. The first person that you would see, as far as your case goes, would be one of the magistrates.
Usually, yes.
Okay, usually. Okay, yes. Does it ever go right to the judge?
Rare circumstances. It has to be the unusual case before we're going to have a case like that. But most of the time we do end up in front of one of our magistrates first. And I want to expand on what Keith said, too. Another situation that I see even more than a grandparent stepping in when a parent is deceased is, you have those parents who, for whatever reason, were not able to take care of their child. The grandparent steps in, takes care of that child for whatever period of time is necessary. And then the parents get it together. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they weren't able to provide for the child, but now they can. Perhaps there was a drug or alcohol problem, and that's been resolved. And they're ready to take that child back, and they're ready to play that role again. And then we see the severance of the grandparent relationship. Mm-hmm. And the grandparents, who have played such a large role in this child's life, have to get in there and file that petition and ask that they continue to have some role over the parents' objections. And that, I think, is probably a very common complaint in my office.
Boy, you just rip somebody's heart out when you do that.
It's our court is such an emotional court, and these grandparents' cases are among the most difficult that we have.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and then we'll open up the phone lines. Perhaps you've been there. Maybe this topic that we're covering this morning is all too close to home. If you'd like to share with us, and we're not going to ask you who you are, call us at 893-1450. We're talking about grandparents' rights. We're talking about making it what's best for the children in the community. Also, when we come back, I'd like for you to get a pencil handy, because there's a date I want you to jot down on your calendar. And they're having an open house at the juvenile court system. And it's an opportunity for you to see firsthand the great facility, the caring people that we have here in Rutherford County. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I got a feeling he's gonna put you down.
You have something to buy, sell, or trade, call me weekday mornings at 7:50 for Swap and Shop.
WTNS, AM, FM, and online.
Board of Murfreesboro thanks the men and women of the U.S. military for their service and dedication to defending our country. Board of Murfreesboro is proud to offer special incentives to our servicemen and women on a daily basis. Board of Murfreesboro appreciates those who serve in the U.S. Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, and Air Force. Visit Board of Murfreesboro on Broad at Northfield today, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. If you already own a Tag Heuer watch, let our in-house professional watch technician replace your battery and pressure test it. It only takes one day, and it's at half the price of our competition, who have to send the watch off for 4 weeks.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. Have you had your jewelry professionally cleaned and checked lately? Stop in today for your free checkup.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high into the lower 90s and winds out of the north around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vuchitsky. Right now, 81.
The weather on WGNS brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro. They're there to help you at First National Bank.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
Well, we are checking the traffic right now. It looks as if we don't have any real problems traffic-wise in Murfreesboro. Most of the traffic seems to be running relatively smoothly and no real situations. Thank goodness on that. No high-speed chases like we had going on yesterday afternoon. Drive carefully and don't get too close to the car in front of you.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back.
I set out on a narrow way many years ago.
Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. If you have any questions dealing with the juvenile court system, give us a call. 893-1450. Juvenile Court System Magistrate Keith Siskin is with us, along with local attorney Sandra Smith. And we're talking about grandparents' rights. Our number again, 893-1450, 893-1450. And Keith, we had mentioned right before that break about the open house coming up Thursday, October the 18th, from 4:30 until 6:30 in the evening at the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System. What will people find if they come to that open house?
Well, it's open to the public, and we do this every year. People can come and take a tour of our building, can come see the courtrooms, and even get a tour of the juvenile detention facility, which is a state-of-the-art facility, and we're so proud of it, and we've been in it a few years now. Usually it's very popular with people, and they do enjoy coming to see our facility, and we certainly invite everybody to come out and join us that day.
That's Thursday, October the 18th. October the 18th, 4:30 until 6:30 in the evening. And we'll be reminding you about that as we get a little closer to the date. Let's go to the phones right now. Our number is 893-1450. And good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm close. How are you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
All right. Great program. This grandparent thing is ridiculous. It's really out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of situations where it's terrible. You know.
Give us some examples of
that. What has happened is that these kids nowadays, we know when they come down to, I don't know, maybe we would like that, but I think it's done gotten worse. What happened is we've got a terribly spoiled generation going on. And what has happened, well, you try and say, well, like I say, do what you want to try to do, and you try to teach them right, just elite girls go out and have these kids. I think a lot of the government benefits should have been cut out. Now, let me make myself real clear. Because all you're doing is worsening the problem. And another thing about the government, if you're going to be giving these people something, these people need checking up on. Because they spent, what was it, $2 million or more 5 years ago or longer to redo this thing called food stamps. They thought they was doing themselves something favor, doing something to try to stop fraud that's going on food stamps. Sir, in case you already know, it's a waste of time and money. Because you didn't change anything.
You think the problem is still just as bad as before?
So what? I heard that. Come on. And like I said, excuse me, another thing about the grandparent thing. You know, grandparents, I'm talking directly to them and anyone that's listening. By you thinking that you're helping your children, a lot of times you're really hurting them. The date will come that you're going to have to start saying no to grandkids. And what happened, by me being a grandparent, I can tell you what's going on. We feel guilty. That's what have happened. We feel like it's our responsibility to raise grandkids when it's not. And like you all were saying earlier about grandparents going to court, all this kind of stuff, that's really ridiculous. Because going to court doesn't mean you love kids. And this thing about in and everybody adopting kids, so that thing really need looking into in Murfreesboro. There's some bad situations going on in our town.
Well, let me get some response from our guest here today. What about that? Are you seeing this, what he's commenting on, are you seeing this in the courts?
Yeah, it's a terrible situation, and he's right. It's not the grandparents' responsibility to be raising these kids. You know, they've raised their kids, and it's supposed to be getting to the golden years where they can sit back and enjoy life. And here they are, for whatever reason, you know, the parents cannot get it together. And a lot of times it's drugs. A lot of times it's just selfishness. And it is, he's right, it's a terrible situation. And I will say this, I agree, it's not the grandparents' responsibility. But a lot of times, if they didn't step up and step in, the children would be falling through the cracks and would end up in foster care. So it's a no-win situation for anybody, but the real losers are the kids.
Is this the same size problem in Murfreesboro as it is in New York City and Los Angeles, California? I mean, is it an epidemic all across the nation?
Probably. I mean, I haven't seen the stats, but I suspect it's bad everywhere. And, you know, I agree to some extent with the caller that, you know, it says something about today's people and what their standards are. And it's just, in my view, it's a lot of selfishness that is showing through here for our parents who, whatever reason, they're looking out for number one and they're forgetting about their children.
Thank you for your call, by the way. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Bart?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have a question. I'm not a grandma. I don't have any children. I can't have biological children. Okay, my sister constantly drinks. Okay, but she works. And when she's on one of her drinking things, she totally neglects my 11-year-old nephew. He's her only child left at home. He takes care of himself pretty much when he's like that. He cooks his own food, you know, washes his own clothes, does everything on his own. And then my nephew, her son, her oldest son, is on drugs, and he has two little boys, two babies, 1-2, 1-9 months.
How old is
he?
How old is he?
He's 22.
22.
Just
so he's
22.
He's an adult then, okay.
Yes, yeah. And what could I do as an aunt, you know, and a great aunt, do to get these children? Because, I mean, Zachary, well, my oldest nephew has come to the house, and he's been totally wasted on something. He doesn't drink. We think he's doing the fake drug stuff. I mean, he cannot take care of them children when he is doing that. He's high all the time.
What about that? And I know you've seen situations like this. Maybe through what you've seen, maybe you can share some directions they can go.
Gosh, there's so many problems with the situation she just described. You have one adult with two very small children that obviously need care. I'm wondering where the mother is.
Where is
Mama it? Doesn't want nothing to do with them. She's right in town. She doesn't want nothing to do with
You're
them.
Kidding me.
No. She's good for nothing.
Hmm.
And the unfortunate thing is we hear stories like this quite often. This is not a single situation that no one else has ever encountered. It's very common. And I think, as Keith said, that goes to speak to what's going on in society right now. We have some problems. What can she do? She can contact the Department of Children's Services and access those services and those resources on behalf of the children. Gosh, for the 11-year-old, step in. And she, as the person stepping in, needs to consider what she's prepared to take on herself.
So she might be the one who needs to take on the custody.
As a relative, she would be considered as a potential custodian.
I mean, I'm already on 5 days a week.
And that's the problem. See, the people who are having to step in and step into the shoes of these parents who are not doing what they need to do to take care of the children, oftentimes they've got their own responsibilities. And they're sometimes not able or simply can't afford or don't have the resources to step in and take care of children who are not theirs. So there is the Department of Children's Services. There is a resource that they can contact and get some guidance from. A private attorney is always an option, but there's a cost involved with that. This county has a lot of help for children. It's just accessing it. And a good place to start is the department. She can, as Keith said earlier, there is a system down there at the juvenile court clerk's office that she can go and file a petition herself and just tell the court what she believes is going on with these children. Mm-hmm. And ask the court to intervene on behalf of the children.
And that's going to bring in more than likely a foster parent.
It's going to bring in some consideration for who's going to care for these children, whether it be a relative placement, a foster care placement. The goal is, no matter what we do with these children, we eventually get them back into a situation where their parents are taking care of them.
Now, how old is this child who is taking care of themselves?
11. He just turned 11 the other day.
And have they been doing this for a long time? Have they been taking care of themselves for a long time?
Off and on, yes. She lost custody because of her drinking when he was a year and a half, 2 years old, and his dad got custody. But then she got clean, she went to rehab and everything else, and to get him back, and she got him back. And now for the last, say, 3-4 years, she's doing her stupid stuff again.
And so the child really is taking care of...
I've gone over there, and I'm like, come on, you're going home with me.
Yeah.
And my sister would be raising all kinds of hands. I said, I don't want to hear it. I'm taking him. I told her, so you know where he's at.
So where is the father?
He's in another town.
Okay. He cares less, I guess.
He doesn't. All he does is pay child support. That's all he does. He barely pays that.
Well, again,
that's $20 a week.
You fall back to...
He barely pays that.
You fall back to asking the parents to step up and take that responsibility. And when you don't have a parent to do that, you run into relatives and, as we were talking about today, the grandparents who have to step in and take care of it.
Are there any of those around other than you?
My mom is, but she's unhealthy. And I'm not even healthy. I just got on SSI. I'm not healthy either. But I already have them 5 days a week. I have all three of them 5 days a week because they work.
They're fortunate to have you. I mean, but this is the situation we were inferring to in the beginning of the program, children raising themselves and slipping through the cracks. I mean,
yeah, and if I could interject here, the two things I want to point out to the caller, anybody who calls the Department of Children's Services, it's an anonymous phone call. And anybody who suspects that a child is being neglected or abused can call DCS, and their identity will not be given out. DCS will send somebody out to the home to investigate, and if there's a problem, the department can remove the child and bring it before the court immediately. And the second thing I'll point out, she mentioned SSI. For folks who are disabled and receiving SSI, we can often waive court costs. If they'll come to the clerk's office and ask for what's called a pauper's oath, they can provide proof of their SSI, and then I would review that, and usually I waive any fees so they can get before the court with no cost.
Okay. my husband does work, but, I mean, I personally, I'll be the one doing this. You know, it's my family, you know, I'll be doing it. And I do. I just got my first check like a week ago.
Well, good luck to you. You have some big decisions to make.
Yeah, I do, Bart. All righty, thank you.
You take care of yourself.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our phone number, and I can envision what she's trying to go through. If you bring in the Department of Children's Services and they see that there is a situation there where this child needs supervision and there are no relatives around who are able to take care of the child, then you bring in the foster parent, and that might not be a local foster parent, I understand. It could be one who knows where. Jackson, Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee. You don't have a whole lot of control over that. And this child who's had some problems is suddenly separated from what family they have. That's pretty rough. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning, Bert. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Good. I just wanted to say a few things. I am a grandparent. I have, excuse me.
This is very hard sometimes to talk on this issue.
It is. Well, anyway, our situation is our son and our daughter-in-law are going through a divorce, right? And our son is incarcerated, and the daughter-in-law, rather than stay in Tennessee, she has moved to Montana, and a different state. Mm-hmm. I don't think I should have said Montana, but different state.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we have no rights whatsoever as far as the kids go. The kids stayed with us. They lived with us, you know, almost the entire time that they were down here. And it means a lot. You know, it just means a lot. Now, my question is, what is being done to give the grandparents more rights? Are there laws going into effect that where grandparents would have an easier time? Or is it just being left the way it is?
What about that? Are rights for grandparents increasing, or what's that? And with this case, with the grandchildren being so far away, if you have visitation rights, is it the grandparents' obligation to cover the expenses? Because there's some significant expenses there in travel.
There is, and there's no set answer to that. It would be decided by the judge on a case-by-case basis how to cover the expenses for the children to travel back and forth if this gentleman was granted visitation with his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
There are statutes in place, and our higher courts are still interpreting those statutes, because even though they've been on the books for a few years now, they're still new in the area of law. We're still applying those and learning how to use them in Tennessee. So this gentleman has a situation where his son is not there. His son and daughter-in-law are going through the divorce, and I think that could trigger our statute for him to intervene and ask for visitation. And I say that, I heard the caller say that the children had spent time in his home and actually lived in his home.
Yes, they have.
And that's significant when we talk about the legal standing or the right that you as a grandparent would have to intervene and ask for time with the grandchildren.
Do you think the mother took the children that far away? I mean, that's a long way away on purpose, just to say they're mine and you're out of the picture.
That's what we think. He filed for divorce in Rutherford County. And right after that, she decided to pack up and move to a different state. So that's, you know, rather than stay here and face what was going on, you know, that's what happened.
Well, that right there is a problem, because typically, and we don't handle divorces in juvenile court, but I know there is a relocation statute that says that parents are not allowed to take the children out of state, to move out of state, without the other parent's permission or the court's permission.
The fact that she's relocated at all is a complete different problem and probably needs to be addressed with that divorce court, along with the grandparents' visitation, if this gentleman chooses to do that. But we do have a statute in Tennessee when a divorce is filed. If it is a contested divorce, we'll trigger that statute, and those children are not to be removed more than 100 miles.
Even if the husband's incarcerated, this law is in place.
Even if. A removal of that distance requires the court to review it.
That may be his strongest connection.
It's certainly going to be something the court needs to hear about, I would think.
Yeah, but that's not the juvenile courts, that's the divorce courts.
That's the divorce court.
So that would be up to his lawyer, right?
Yes, and if you intervene as a grandparent asking for that visitation, you're kind of going to ride his coattails on that issue because you want the children back here in Tennessee so that you can see them while he's incarcerated or perhaps even after he's released. So absolutely something his lawyer should look to.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bart.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We have some very caring people with us today, not only listening, but those here helping this morning, helping come up with some solutions for you. We're going to continue the conversation, and we'll be back. We have just a few minutes left, so if you have any questions, dial quickly. 893-1450. You can see this is a big problem.
Tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care or none.
From the tallest tower in the city limits of Murfreesboro to every radio in the land, WGNS AM/FM is everywhere you need us to be.
Hi, I'm Leon Wyman, owner of A1 Lawnmower Repair.
Hi, I'm Haley.
We're your buy, sell, and trade headquarters. We're a family-owned business that takes pride in helping out your family. We have new and used parts available for all types of outdoor equipment, even the hard-to-find items. We now accept debit and credit cards for your convenience. You can check out our website at a1lawnmowerrepair.webs.com. Call us at 563-7352.
My papa can fix it.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
I was visiting over at Bell Furniture, 1517, the new Nashville Highway. Now, that's halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Talking with Perry Bell and Linda Farish, you need to visit there, too. If you're looking for a mattress, they have Jameson Bedding. Jameson. Now, they know what they're doing. Jameson's been building mattresses since 1883. In fact, I think their slogan says it all. Jameson, for the rest of your life. And you probably have slept on a Jameson. If you've traveled any, the Marriott hotels use the Jameson mattress. They're well known for these comfortable beds, and it's a Jameson mattress that makes it that way. In fact, right there at Bell Furniture, they have the Marriott mattress from Jameson for half price. And this is not just one item that's half price. They have everything in the store, half price every day. And Perry Bell, he set it up that way. Bell Furniture, 1517, the new Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Bell Furniture. Go by and see them.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We've got a bit of congestion already. Old Fort Parkway at Bridge, Old Fort Parkway at Chaffin Place, Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, seeing some congestion building this morning. Also, we've got a bit of congestion on I-24 at the I-24 westbound junction there with Bell Road and I-24 at the junction with I-40 West. Stop by Bradford Flooring and Paint Center at 1999 Nolensville Pike. Ask about the free tickets to the race at the fairgrounds this summer. Call Bradford Flooring at 251-5384. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
If you have an iPhone or use an Android, we have an app for both. WGNS AM and FM is everywhere you need us to be, on air and on demand.
You know you. Must I always be playing, playing your fool? I sing your songs, I dance your dance, I gave your friends all a chance, putting up with them wasn't worth never having you.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We have just a few minutes left in our program this morning, and we're focusing on grandparents' rights, some very emotional issues, as you've heard from the phone calls we've had this morning. 893-1450. Juvenile Court System Magistrate Keith Siskin is with us, along with local attorney Sandra Smith. And Sandra, do you specialize in juvenile issues, or?
I don't have a specialization. It seems that's where my practice has focused for years, in the domestic form. So probably half my time in juvenile court, half in the divorce court. So I'm there a lot.
So those two courts interrelate a lot, as we've heard this morning.
The issues certainly do. A lot of times, I'll say, and Keith, you can back me up on this, probably a lot of our cases will start in the divorce court, go to the juvenile court, finish up there, go back to the divorce court, and vice versa. Because you're dealing with children, you're dealing with families, and both of those courts are family courts.
I keep thinking back to Judge Don Ash and some of the things that he has put into place. And when people go through a divorce, I think he requires that the parents have some time trying to figure out how to stay civil with each other, because he says, down the road, when these children grow up, they're going to be graduations, high school, hopefully college, there's going to be marriages where the children marry somebody. You need to be able to get together and not fight. And that's what it's all about. I mean, maybe life didn't work in a certain marriage, but you don't want to continue to create mountains for your loved ones, your children.
Absolutely. All of our judges, I have to say, I've heard each and every one of them from the bench say something very similar to that, whether it be in a contested trial setting or just when we're going up there for an approval of a divorce that's been agreed to or a custody decision that's been agreed to. All of our judges will say something similar. Because these parents, regardless of their relationship, grandparents included, when they're involved in the case, regardless of what their relationship might be with each other, we still have these children that we've got to raise together. And, you know, whether it be the next 6 years of the child's life, or if the child's an infant, the next 18 years of the child's life, these people are still going to be connected. And they've got to learn to work together to raise that child and to do what's best for that child.
Now, we don't know, and I'll underline that, why everyone's incarcerated. But in doing broadcasts dealing with the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center, I think it's in the upper 80s and sometimes 90%. It varies. The reason why you're in jail is often tied in some way to drug abuse. The drug courts have done a phenomenal job of helping people break that habit. If you go through the drug court system, you're incarcerated and you go through this system and you're trying to get custody, is that a star in your crown toward getting custody again when you're released?
Yeah, I think it is. Anything that an incarcerated parent can do to demonstrate that they are getting their life on track and are focusing on their children, whether it's drug court, whether it's becoming a trustee at the jail, showing responsibility within the jail system, anything they can do to show that to the courts is going to be a star in their column.
Want to say a special thank you this morning to our two guests, Magistrate Keith Siskin and local attorney Sandra Smith, for joining us to talk about grandparents' rights. Tomorrow at this time, our mayor, Tommy Bragg, is going to be with us. Hey, you have a super day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Truman Jones, he's coming up next.
You're all I've got. You lift me up.